For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Hi, this is James Avera. I'm going back to old school. MSR Cast? Oh, come on. Yes, we've been around for a long time, and we're not going away. This is James Avera from Hellstar. Support your local scene.
I am Gladiator. Are you out? Welcome, my friends, to episode number 214 of MSRcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie the Metal Geek, along with...
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How are you doing, sir?
Very good.
So this episode, it's been a long time in the making, basically all year.
Yeah.
We're going to be discussing and playing bands as we were going through and working on albums that were going to be in our Rewind episodes coming up. These are bands that we sort of discovered or might have heard before but didn't really pay attention to. So I think that's a great way to describe them. These are albums and bands that have really popped up in our minds recently.
Yeah, there's stuff we've missed basically throughout the year.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, there was a lot of stuff that came out this year. I think we did a pretty good job of covering all the major points. But yeah, this is stuff that just kind of slipped through the cracks. I mean, there's a specific band on here where that we're going to play later that I got the album. It came out in mid-November. I was going to review it and I just kind of ran out of time and I was like, you know what? I need to start thinking about my best albums list, which my songs list just went up today on themetalpigeon.com. So go check that out. And
maybe different song than will be picked for the Rewind episode.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some overlap, but
yeah. So my albums list, I think I'm going to try to have it up by a week from now. So,
oh, wow.
Ambitious. Yeah.
Are you going to do top 10, top 20, top 40?
Top 10. It's always top 10.
There's so many good albums this year, though, man.
If I had to write little blurbs for 20 or 50 albums, I would just go insane.
So one of the things I do, this is going to be a shout out to that drummer guy, first of all, Josh Rundquist. When I'm preparing my albums, I'll create Spotify playlists now, and one of them is called Albums to Listen To. So what I usually do, I'll go through his top – he does a top 100, and then he does like another 20 on top of that.
Yeah.
So I'll pull all those albums that I haven't heard into that playlist and I'll just listen to it and whatever sticks out, sticks out. And that's happened a few times, of things I didn't even know about. It's been some interesting album that I didn't even know that came out.
Yeah.
So like, Dan Lorenzo from Hades has a new band, which I wouldn't have known about that.
Huh.
There's just so many albums that came out this year.
Yeah.
So much quality stuff, too. It's going to be really hard to pinpoint down to 10 or 20 or even 30.
I was saying this last time, but I mean, today I finalized my albums. Like, I know what it is. I'm not going to say it, but
no.
I know what it is. I don't know the specific order, but I finally got the elimination process done, and it was the hardest 10 albums to narrow down. It was just like, I had to make like really hard cuts where I'm like, oh, I don't want to leave that off, but I might have to. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been agonizing. I've redone it a couple times. And
I bet.
So
I've sort of, started on mine. I have just a list in no particular order. And it's definitely more than 10 right now.
I can't relate to, because I've seen this a little bit thrown around just in offhand comments and stuff, but I can't relate to people who say that they don't have enough for 10 albums of the year for the best. It's like, well, you guys aren't trying hard enough, first of all.
In reading a lot of articles and a lot of the metal sites out there, and we're not throwing shade at anybody, but a lot of it, it's very common stuff. So it's same band over and over and over.
Right.
If Yob
releases an album, Yob gets on the best of list.
It's just which expected. The album's great too.
Right.
but not saying it might not be on our albums.
Certain bands that get more favor than others. I mean, that's just obvious, I think.
And I think a lot of people appreciate this show because our the bands that we enjoy are very different.
Yeah.
Not from each other, but we like a wide variety of metal. We don't just like one style of here we like post-metal, or here we like, you know, power metal, or here we like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, we're willing to listen to any style, you know.
And my top 10 is definitely going to be indicative of that. And I'm sure your will as well.
Very much, yeah.
So let's talk about the first band that we heard this evening. It's a band called War Kings.
Yeah.
This is their first full length album. This is a weird band. Came out November 16th, 2018 on Napalm Records. The album is called Reborn. Now, these guys are really into the history.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
A lot of it, it's very, ancient Greece, that type of – that era of history. They dress – the drummer dresses like a Roman soldier.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little bit. They the song that we played
is wearing like a crusader thing or something.
Yeah, like a forced crusade. The song we heard was from the album Reborn. The song was called Gladiator. I urge you to go check out the video. Very green screened, of course, but it's fun.
Yeah.
This band is fun. The vocalist, who we'll get to in a second.
Yeah.
He totally reminds me. This band reminds me of Dream Evil. They're over the top, but they take themselves a little bit serious.
Yeah.
They're fun. They're just a lot. They're enjoyable to listen to, and you don't find that a lot with this type of music. Sometimes it can be tedious. Sometimes it can be, okay, these guys are going too far. They're not going far enough.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
These guys are walking that line. This is Sparta. There's a song, This is Sparta.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. Now tell me about the singer, because I didn't realize this until we were listening to it earlier. Like, that's him.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing this band a little before, but I didn't really do any research on them. I still haven't done any research on them, but I'm 100% sure that vocalist is Jörg Neuhauser of Serenity, because I recognize that voice anywhere.
You are correct, sir. Yeah. His name in this band is called The Tribune.
Right, yeah.
And
anyone
on
else?
Guitars is a Crusader, on drums is the Spartan, and bass is the Viking.
Oh, they don't say their real names?
Nope. Unless you click on who they are. You know?
I mean, the other giveaway, it's Serenity's on Napalm. This is on Napalm. It's like, a little easy path to getting the record deal. But yeah, I mean, Jörg's such a great vocalist. He's also, his day job is a assistant professor of history, I think in some Austrian university. And he, so this is his specialty. He's what he's interested in. Obviously, the last Serenity album was a concept album about Richard the Lionheart.
Uh-huh.
So this is kind of in his wheelhouse, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what you're getting here, you're getting 3 to 4 minute, less than 5 minute songs, really punchy, really catchy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun. If
Neuhauser is writing the vocal melodies, they're always going to be catchy.
Yeah. It's just it definitely reminds me of Dream Evil.
Yeah,
but
I can see that.
It's
more aggressive than Serenity, a little more thrashier than Serenity, yeah.
It's along the same lines as Sabaton in a way, where they write about history, but totally different style areas. Even though Sabaton has written songs about that era,
yeah.
I recommend this wholeheartedly. Top album of the year, probably not, but it's still a lot of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What you want to talk about the next band?
Yeah, sure.
So this is something another band that I brought to your attention tonight. A band called The Crawling. They're a United Kingdom band. I call them death doom metal, little progressive death doom. I really enjoy these guys a lot.
Yeah. I'm not wild about that name, The Crawling. It sounds like a bad horror movie.
Well, the logo looks like a bad horror, like an 80s horror movie. It really does.
Yeah.
And it's probably what they're going for. They're on Grind Scene Records, which I've never heard of their record label before. Probably a little bit more of an independent label. This is their second full length in the last year. They had one in 2017. But the song that we heard is the title track and the opening track, called Wolves in the Hideous White, which is, of course, the name of the album. Now, what did you think about this band?
I mean, it was interesting. You were saying they were kind of doomy.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, I mean, Was I saying Swallow the Sun? Did they remind me of Swallow the Sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it had that kind of feel to it. The vocals were...
They definitely have a Peaceville-era band, so Old Catatonia, Paradise Lost, My Dying Bride, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Anything from the 90s-era Peaceville records.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely I could see that. Maybe a direct influence, obviously.
Yeah. But Doom, Death, Doom, whichever way you want to put those in front. If you're into Swallow the Sun, if you're into those style of bands, I think you're really going to like this band.
Yeah.
That's another band that I read about it in an article somewhere, and I was like, oh, these guys sound right up my alley, and they definitely are. I'm a huge Death Doom fan. I make no bones about that. And this has been on my – it's not something I just discovered, but it's been on my playlist for a while now.
Yeah, on the periphery sort
of? Yeah, pretty much. You know, sometimes you hear something and then you forget about it for a while, and then you come back to it when you're doing more research, and this is that band for me.
I have all this stuff. I have this big Metal Pigeon playlist of all these albums that came out this year.
Yeah.
And I was like going through it today or the past week and stuff, and I was like looking at bands that I had never really taken the time to review, but – I was like listening through the records. I was like, yeah, that was good. I probably could have taken the time to review that one, but, you know, just never got around to it. So, yeah, I know the feeling. It's like,
yep, there's so much.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
And we're not you know, there's a lot of websites and, you know, magazines and like Banger TV and all that kind of stuff. They have a group of people doing everything. It's hard for
bunch of
one person or two people.
Yeah.
To catch up on all of it.
Yeah.
It really is. But let's talk about something completely different than Death Doom, the next band on our list after The Crawling. I guess we can talk about them after we get back. You want to do that?
Yeah.
But I give a little hint?
Yeah. Well, the hint is that I guess if you're because I'm going to be seeing Stephen Wilson in a couple weeks in the 20th.
Yep.
And if you're a Stephen Wilson or a Porcupine Tree fan, you probably already know about this band.
Who they've been around for a while.
They've been around for a while, and they're actually really popular in their home country and in certain parts of Europe. Not really that well known
guitar,
in America.
And their guitar player died last year.
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
Yeah.
Or was it 2 years ago or
might
something?
Might have been 2 years by now, yeah.
Because there's the album the first album they've done without him, right. So yeah.
We'll talk more about the album when we get back.
Yeah.
So let's get into The Crawling now. This is Wolves and the Hideous White.
We'll be right back. mind so soft. Seven hearts strings on the violin. Sign the song to hold in. A final wish to end it all and make you disappear.
Then take away, like you did the last time, like the last time, like the last time. Tell me who I have to be. Cross my head, lips and heart. Make me get down on my knees, like you did the last time, like the last time, like the last time. Desert. I am wading through the desert to the promised land you burned to the ground. Wading through the desert, I am wading through the desert to the promised land you burned to the ground. Take me to the highest hill, show the fireworks display. Tell me it's for my own good, like you did the last time, like the last time, like the last time. Turn my tree to crows, then launch a crusade. Make another vein of tears, like you did the last time, like the last time, like the last time. Wading through the desert, I am wading through the desert to the promised land you burned to the ground. Wading through the desert, I am wading through the desert to the promised land you burned to the ground. hand, you burn to the ground. Wading through the desert, I am wading through the desert. To the promised land, you burn to the ground. Wading through the desert, I am wading through the desert. To the promised land, you burn to the ground.
All right. Back from the Vale of Tears.
No.
actually, this song didn't sound anything like its title.
No, it doesn't.
The thing is, this is one of their more aggressive moments, because I've paid attention to Riverside, the band's Riverside, throughout the years, and you know, they've always been kind of more prog to me, and this really does feel they're like
light prog.
Yeah.
Like AOR prog.
Yeah, know? Yeah. And this album feels sort of like their Porcupine Tree in absentia moment, you know?
I definitely agree.
It's just like a little bit more aggressive. Not completely, nothing really is, I think that's about as heavy as it gets, but there's stuff in here that's like riffs that come out of nowhere and stuff. And
especially on this song.
And I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't know if, what was the guy's name, the guitarist, Piotr Grudzinski. I wonder if his, I don't know if his passing affected that, that he wasn't, you know, in charge of that aspect of the sound anymore, and they decided to do something different. Whatever the reason is, I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on this band, but I've just been kind of addicted to this album for the past few weeks, and the ballads on the album, Guardian or something, and another one called Lament. I thought they were really, really good, and I thought about picking them for the, but you know, I kind of wanted something more, a little more rock oriented for this. And I'm a big fan
I like
of this album
song too.
Yeah,
when I listened to this album a few times, and this song definitely struck out for me, or it's not struck out, but stuck out to me. The first time I heard it, I'm like, whoa, I like the way the drums come in. It has like this really syncopated drum beat to it.
Yeah.
It's just a cool song.
Yeah. And the, you know, the guy's voice kind of reminds me of Stephen Wilson too. I mean, I hate to keep making that comparison, but I think if you're someone, cause I mean, Stephen's doing good work now with like all his solo.
If you like anything on Inside Out Records.
Yeah.
You would dig this.
Yeah, or you're like a K-Scope Records fan or something, because I think they are on K-Scope or something right now, right?
I believe it's Inside Out.
They, their mellow parts on this album so much remind me of like late 90s era Porcupine Tree, where it was just like really pop, like really like poppy in a kind of memorable hooky way, but it was very mellow and melancholic, and I'm just a sucker for that stuff, so that's kind of why this album was an easy sell for me. But yeah, I've been listening to this one a lot, and I don't really consider this to be a metal thing, but I don't know, you know, prog rock or whatever. I mean, the same vein, I've been listening to that new Smashing Pumpkins album, which I had thought about putting the song on this playlist, but I figure a lot of people would just either love or hate that band, so I don't want to piss off the people who hate them. But the new album's interesting. Some pretty good songs on there, and I guess I'm just kind of a fan of that band. Not of everything he does, but the stuff that I really love, that they do, so... some rock, not quite metal stuff on the MSR cast.
That's okay. We've got into that before.
Yeah.
So before Riverside, there was something that was heavier. The Crawling, some quality death doom from the UK, Wolves and the Hideous White, song name and album title we listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's a band we're going to play next that's been around for a long, long time. They sort of got back together like 20... They did an album in 2016 that was like their first real album in like 16, 17 years.
Wow.
And this, of course, we're talking about In the Woods. ...
Yeah.
Their first album, their first full length came out in 95, and they had one in 97, 99. The next full length album was until 2016.
Wow.
And then the last one that came out 2018, which is called Cease the Day. Not Cease, but Cease. And this came out very, very recently, November 23rd of 2018. I really fucking love this album. It's progressive black metal. They've been able to take that, their original sound, and make it this progressive avant-garde thing that, you know, bands like Bortnagar are doing and bands of that ilk.
Yeah.
And not afraid to go out of comfort zones and things like that. Really nice guitar tones. It's just a fucking cool album, man.
I kind of just thought it was a new band.
No, they've been around for a while.
They've been around that long. Wow. You heard their stuff before, their old stuff?
Old stuff is very raw.
Okay.
Very different.
Yeah.
So if you dug what you heard,
I liked it.
What you're about to hear.
Yeah.
That is, go back and listen to, if you like black metal, if you like, mid 90s black metal, that raw stuff, which I know you do.
Yeah.
I still think you dig them a lot. But yeah, this is only like their fifth album, really, in their whole career from 1995. So it's sad to say 1995 is like almost 24 years ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fuck, we're getting old. But yeah, I definitely recommend this full album, man. In the Woods, the album's called Cease the Day. And the song we're about to listen to is called Cloud Seeker. Let's listen to it again and refresh it in our minds, and we'll go seed some clouds.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm waiting for you to arrive.
And we are back to the show. We just heard a band called Manimal. I know, stupid name. But great band, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it your first time hearing it?
Yeah.
What'd you think about them?
I think that, and I probably come upon this name in the past, and I passed it because it's a stupid name.
Yeah.
Good band, but how are you going to go to someone and be like, have you heard this band called Manimal? And they'd be like, no, I haven't.
The album we listened to the title track from Purgatorio, which is the second song on the album. They're on AFM Records. This came out September 7th, 2018, so it's sort of newish. Yeah, Manimal. It's like the first time I ever heard this is weird. It's a weird story. Hammerfall is one of my favorite bands now. The first time I ever heard Hammerfall, it was like on a compilation video from like Vakken or something. Mm-hmm. And they were doing Hammerfall. I'm like, how pompous are these fuckers to be singing their own song? I know Halloween's done it before.
Iron Maiden's done it.
But I was like, wow.
Just following the tradition.
Yeah, I guess so. And it took me a while to really get into Hammerfall. When I got into him, I fell hard for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like my new love. But these guys are really good.
Yeah, no, I mean, I wouldn't instantly like enjoyed them. So,
Definitely speed metal.
Yeah.
And, you know, definitely paying homage to some German bands.
Yeah.
Some 80s heavy metal you hear in here, some old Judas Priest.
Yeah.
It's just everything you want in, a classic metal band. You know what I mean?
It was fun.
Yeah. Speed and melody. That's what you want.
Yeah. I just think of that Bill McNeil quote from News Radio where he's telling Dave, the news director, he's talking about something about, like, that's what they call Manimal lust.
There was a TV show back in the day called Manimal. It was a detective or something. He turned into a...
This word, Manimal, it's the worst.
They didn't create it, so I'm looking... there we go. Manimal was an American action adventure series that ran... In 1983, from September 30th to December 17th, Dr. Jonathan Chase, he was a shape-shifting man who can turn himself into any animal he chooses. He used his ability to help the police solve crimes. Not like the band.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I really like the album cover is very traditional, this style, very blues and orange and... There's a weird wing demon guy on there.
Of course there is.
Yeah, of course there is. They're not reinventing the wheel here. They're just doing it. They're spinning the wheel really well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Is you going to check out these guys more?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna put the album on the playlist. Absolutely.
This is their third full-length album.
Cool.
2009 was The Darkest Room, then Trapped in the Shadows in 2015, and then now Purgatorio 2018.
Yeah, probably why we haven't heard of them before.
They're from Gothenburg, Sweden, too.
Long layover between 2009 and 2015.
They're from Gothenburg, Sweden, so definitely have that riffing style.
Yeah.
What was before Manimal?
Oh, In the Woods?
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. I thought it was, you know, you play the clip of their older stuff. And
yeah.
And yeah, they're clearly a better band now. I mean, no disrespect to the older stuff, but it's just like,
yeah, the drums weren't recorded as far away.
Yeah.
It was like an echo machine.
It was about what you'd expect lo-fi black metal to sound like in the late 90s. So
yeah.
New stuff is way far more interesting, very dynamic.
Very progressive, avant-garde black metal.
Yeah.
Think along the lines of like Enslaved and like Bordnagar and bands like that, or... Who are keeping their traditionalism but trying new things at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of clean vocals, but can really get they pull out their black metal, you know.
Yeah, but there are melodies. Growls.
Yeah, their melodies.
There are melodies in there, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. Orion Path is the next band.
Aryan Pass?
Well, see,
Aryan
Path, it would be one R.
They used to be. They changed the spelling of the name
to avoid any type of shaky ground.
I would think so.
Good God, guys.
Yes. So this band was formed in the United States, and they moved back to Cyprus, which is a Greek. It's an island
off Greece,
right off of Greece, yeah. But it's its own country. Type of deal. So
they just noped out of here. Like, no, getting out of here.
They've been around for a long time. This band too. Their first full length came out in 2004.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so this is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the 7th album. And this is a double album, too. The album is called Archigenoi. And so these guys are so good. You know how I discovered this band? We've talked about this before on Spotify, the Friday new release type of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This popped up on my list last week. And I swear I listened to this album like 5 times in that week.
So we were watching the video of this earlier. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, man, it's definitely interesting. Definitely, I could hear the Arion influence.
Arion?
And a little bit of that Zach Stevens stuff.
So, yes. Okay, so let's get into the first time I heard them, that song, the vocalist reminded me of Zach Stevens from Sabotage and Jack Skellington. When Danny Elfman sings with Jack Skellington, when he does, there's like this one Jack's Lament song on the soundtrack. It's it just reminds me of that so much. Okay. But these guys are epic fucking power metal. All their lyrical stuff, it's, you know, mythological, very Greek history type stuff. You know, anything that would fit well in the 300 movie type of thing. I made a comment earlier. We need to listen to this album while playing Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Yeah,
because it's the whole game is set in Greece. It's gonna be a fucking great soundtrack for it.
Yeah,
they're sort of a cross between. I definitely hear some Ice Earth in them with some of their traditional riffing. I hear some Rhapsody. I've heard Sabaton. I definitely hear Sabotage. The way they're. These epic choruses and the way the music swells with it. I highly recommend this album. I don't know if it's going to reach my top albums of the year because I haven't sat with it long enough.
Came too late, yeah.
It came very, very late. Let me look up the date of this album. It came out November 30th, so that's very fucking late.
These record labels need to reconsider some of these release dates. Like late November, December, guys, you're... I mean, not that these lists are the biggest deal. I get it, but like, if you want to have like that kind of year end buzz, to propel, you're putting it too late. Everyone stops these things around like mid November, late November, so there's no time. There was only one time in my entire time like publishing lists where a December album made it onto the list, or I think maybe one or two, but one of them was Triosphere. Mm-hmm. And that made it to number one that year, 2014, because I got it and it hit me from the word go. I didn't have to like spend time with it. I was just hooked immediately. And that was like a rare instance of me being like sitting there and going, oh, I think this might be the best album of the year. I can't believe it came out in the first week of December and then putting it at number one. Yeah. I mean, maybe don't do the December releases. I mean, the Darkmoor has an album coming out on this coming week. And then after that, it's like the biggest thing I could think of is Within Temptation has an album coming out in the middle of the month. And that's
I've
pretty
heard
much
a song
it.
Long and it's not good.
That band is far from, there's other bands doing that style of what they used to do better. But yeah, the Darkmoor album is interesting. The single is interesting. But unfortunately, it might go under the radar for a lot of people just because a lot of people are kind of checking out right now, you know, like of new music. It's just sort of holidays are coming up. You got a lot of things going on and it's going to sail under the radar. It sucks.
So if you enjoy somewhat oriental flavored approach to power metal, some heavier power metal, I definitely recommend Arian Pass. You gotta say it like that. It's not Arian.
I think it's Arian Path.
It could be.
Arian Path. Arian.
Arian?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Or that's the way the spelling phonetically seems to work.
Okay.
But who knows?
I can deal with that.
We mispronounce things on this show all the time.
Want to go ahead and get into it?
Yeah.
This is the song called Seven Against Siebes. And this is from the album called Arch Gnoy. I have no idea if I'm saying that correctly or not. This is going to be a little bit of a longer set. We have a triple threat coming up. So let's get into this, and we'll be back after the set. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And the Harry Potter Power Hour here with Where Owls Know My Name.
I made the comment during the break that when I read that name, I think about Cheers, where everybody knows your name.
And I think about Hedwig. R.I.P. Hedwig.
Spoiler.
Yeah, you're out of luck if you haven't read that series by now.
No, I haven't.
So this is an interesting band. We've been aware of them, and I think we've even played them on the show long, long time ago. I think before I was on the show, actually.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, they've been around for a long time. They've definitely progressed and changed.
Aren't they also like the Black Crown Initiate? Aren't they kind of like they have members that cross over into
the what?
Black Crown Initiate? Don't they have bands that cross over
with Rivers of Nile?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't know.
Anyway, this album came back out. It came out in March, and it just sort of passed me by. I know we didn't talk about it on the show, and sometime a couple months ago, I saw it being recommended as like a suggested artist. I was listening to like their Horrendous album or something. I don't know. And I checked it out, and it's stuck with me ever since. It's not an album I played a lot, but every now and then I'll see it there and I'll go, oh yeah, well, I'm in the mood for something like this, and I'll play it. And I'm always interested in death metal that's not typical death metal. And I know I've read a couple lists already, and like one of the themes I've been seeing from all these sites is that it's a good year for death metal. It's like, yeah. Okay.
There's been a lot of great death metal bands, a lot of great albums. You mentioned Horrendous already. That's a fucking great one.
I will say sometimes it does feel like every year people are saying it's a good year for death metal. And I just think it's because they want it to be a good year for death metal.
I think this year it actually is, though.
I personally didn't hear a lot of it this year. And I think it was because my attention was diverted elsewhere. But I do think that this is one of the most interesting death metal albums I've heard in a long time. And I genuinely do think that it's a band is trying to do something different. Like, it's not just this song. It's other stuff on the album, even the more brutal tracks. There's something a little weird about the way they write their songs that keeps me interesting. And I can never predict what they're going to do in a song. You listen to like a death metal album, you're like, oh, here comes the hit, here comes the breakdown, or that, all that kind of stuff. But
they're very much in the style of like Between the Buried and Me in that aspect.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That you never know what you're going to get, but they always put out quality albums.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their other stuff at all, really. So I don't know if this is the way they always are, or if this is like a new territory for them. But yeah, I mean, so for example, like on this song, the saxophone that comes out of nowhere.
Again, it's got to be the same. It's got to be the one saxophone guy that does metal albums.
Yeah.
Eason uses them.
I gotta say, it sounds way better in this context than it does ever on Eason's records.
I don't know about that one.
I don't think that that's a great instrument to begin with. I'm not the biggest fan of it. I think it's like good in some spots in like rock music and stuff, but I didn't mind it here. I was like, oh, that was interesting. It was a cool song. So yeah, I'm a new fan, I guess. I just didn't get to listen to it enough to even think about it for like album of the year, but if it was definitely the most interesting death metal album I heard this year. I did also, we're not going to talk about it tonight, or I think even on the best of, but the Horrendous album was really good this year.
Yes. Not horrendous
not
at all.
I didn't get to listen to it that much, but every time I did, I was like, oh yeah, okay, this is good. So
a lot of albums like that this year.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff that we just didn't have time for. So the new Hyken album, I didn't like it at first.
Really?
Like, I really didn't like it. And then I kept on coming back to it over and like, all right, I'll play this again, kind of like a chore. And over time, I started to get it. I was like, okay, I think this is what this band is pretty much. They go from theme to theme to theme, musical sound. They'll completely shift from album to album. Affinity, or what was the last record? Was it Affinity? It was the 80s themed one with all the Rush influences and stuff.
What was it called? I'm trying to.
I want to say it was called Affinity. But I really love that album. And it had a real, like, 80s steeped direction.
Yeah, Affinity.
And, like, song like Earthrise was very catchy and poppy. And they had all these pop influences in there. This one is just the opposite of that. It's very aggressive, very like proggy, like heavy. And I think I just kind of wanted more of what they were doing on the last record. But having let go of that, I do like this record. Not as much as the last one, but it's still a strong album. And The Good Doctor is obviously the most sort of to the point song on the record. But I do like... I do love the long piece they have in here. I think it might actually be, I forgot the name of it. It's like the 12-minute long song.
Veil.
Yeah, that is a great song, and it doesn't sound anything like the length. It's, you know, yeah. So, good album.
Charles Goodson Band can do a long song, but it doesn't feel like a long song.
Yeah, and for me, with prog metal and prog rock, that's rarely the case. Usually it's like, oh, you guys didn't need to make, yeah, exactly, yeah. So yeah,
I need to. I think I've listened to this album in the background when I was working. I haven't devoted any time to it though.
Yeah,
it's still new. It came out the end of October.
It takes a while for it to sink in, you know. Yeah. Whereas the last time with Affinity, it was like instantaneous with me. I was like, "Oh, who is this band? What is this?" You know. Yeah.
So before Hiken, we heard a band called Aryan Pass.
Sure.
Yeah. Let's say it that way.
Yeah.
No, that way we don't sound like assholes. Seven Against Sebes with the song from the album Arch Ganoi. We've gushed about them enough.
Yeah.
I think it's time to move on from them.
It's going on the playlist, definitely.
Yeah. It's a really good album. Really, really lot of fun. You know what? You know how I like my dragons? I like them very dragony.
Dragony. Yeah. It needs to be a little more dragony. Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about the new Dragony.
Well, Masters of the Multiverse, Dragony is Dragony. I don't know. There's nothing really... They don't really try to reinvent the wheel or anything like that. They have a specific style of power metal that they do really well, and they just kind of keep chugging at it. And this new album is just kind of exactly what you'd expect from a Dragony album. There's a lot of... I've seen a lot of opinion that has basically said it's not as good as the last one. I do agree with that. I think the last one was Shadow Play. It was a really great record. Masters of the Multiverse, it's a good record. It's not as great as the last one. I will admit to that.
You said the last album was 2015?
You know, yeah. That was a spectacular record. It was just punchy and fun and epic and just kind of silly, just grandiose silliness. This one...
They do a cover of The Touch.
Yeah.
I have to hear that. That's amazing.
Yeah. They're just a silly band, but they're a silly band that takes themselves very seriously in their silliness.
No, I feel you on that one. I haven't heard this album yet. I did like the last one that came out, Shadowkeep.
Yeah. Shadowkeep, yeah.
I just haven't heard this album yet. It came out in October.
This song that we're going to play, Flame of Tarvalon, which for you Wheel of Time Robert Jordan fans, you'll understand that reference.
Oh, is it?
And
Shadow Play is the last album. I'm sorry.
Shadow Play, yeah.
I love the cover, I mean, too.
This song is very just... It kind of epitomizes their sound. So if you like the last record, this song you're going to dig.
A lot of orange in this album cover.
Yeah, I know.
It's like these... they all use blue and orange.
Yeah.
Is like their primary colors, and it's very. No matter if it's a power metal band, dust metal band,
as long as it sticks out, I guess that's what they're going for. These sharp colors or whatever, yeah, yeah. I think that Dragony's like main flaw is that they do sound the same, sometimes to their own detriment. Sort of the Stradivarius effect of when all the songs sound the same, they can't all be good. You know what I mean? Like that's
I can feel that.
The one thing I will agree to on the criticism of this album in particular, they didn't vary up the tempo. I swear to God, every song has the same tempo to it. And that's cool for just like hearing it song out of context. But when you listen to an entire album, it's noticeable. So
it becomes a task.
It becomes
tedious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So the song you picked is called what? Flame of Tar Valon?
Flame of Tar Valon, yeah.
Yeah. From Masters of the Multiverse. And you must check out the album cover.
Yeah.
Guy with a sword and a fucking futuristic machine gun destroying some in a post-apocalyptic world with a dragon behind him destroying some skeletons. It's pretty fucking metal. Yeah,
pretty standard.
Yeah, pretty standard.
Standard operating procedure for these guys.
All right, so hopefully they're more dragony than before. Let's get into dragony.
crawling, but the flesh is stuck in evolution's laser stride. The vision dies, the door is locked. Time and again, the dream's denied. After all, a somatic tether that binds our world together. Conjure flesh. We'll be right back.
what exactly is the meaning of kernel panic anyway?
It's if you're eating popcorn and it gets stuck in your teeth and you can't get it out.
That's
you
start kernel panicking. Yeah.
That is kernel panicking. So what do you think of Alkaloid?
It's... I need to listen to it more because I do think it's something I could like, but it was very, I don't know, all over the place. I need to sit down and get my head around it, I think. There wasn't anything easy to grab onto for me, but I think it sounded interesting. So
here's a little information about Alkaloid. It's formed by Hans Grossman after parting ways with Obscura and wanting to do his own thing. Definitely progressive death metal, techie, sciency, magic-y, physics, that type of stuff. This is their second album. This is called Liquid Anatomy. They're from Bavaria, Germany. So let's look at the lineup here. Hans Grossman is the only in... another guy, Moraine, he was in a band called Dark Fortress. Yeah. So, I know the first thing I said to you, the clean vocals in this song, Kernel Panic, reminds me of Andy Darris from Helloween.
Yeah.
And I know that got stuck in your head.
Yeah.
They're very synicky. You know, they have that progressive, you know, death metal style, but they use a lot of clean guitar work and things like that. I like it a lot. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah. I think that I need to listen to it more just on its own. Very overtly prog stuff like this, I tend to not be able to get into that quick. Kind of what we were talking about with the Hiking album. So it takes me a lot longer than I think. You're more naturally inclined to get into stuff like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
You might be right. I don't know. I mean, I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
Very, very progressive in with their, there's like progressive punch to it, but they do get quite heavy and I really, really like this album a lot. Top album? I don't know. Maybe. But maybe not. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, to define top, right?
Yeah, top 100. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So before we end the... Well, before that, we listened to Dragony.
Which is as dragony as you would expect it to be.
It was very dragony. It was dragging my agony on. Dragony. It's not bad. It's very, very, I'm not saying this in a negative, bad way. It's very one dimensional.
I agree. It is. You have to be in the mood for that dimension when you're in the mood, it kind of hits the spot just like, you know,
there's other bands that do it better, like Freedom Call. Their stuff is much more catchier.
They're a more interesting band, Freedom Call. Yeah.
But it's in the same vein. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're not a bad band. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. They're like sugar candy power metal. Like sometimes you just want something that sounds that directly grandiose and epic.
Yeah.
Like you just want that kind of bombastic noise right then. You know? Yeah.
And not have to really pay attention too much.
Sometimes you need a Reese's peanut butter cup.
I fucking love Reese's peanut butter cups.
And you just, you know, you have to have it right now. So that's what Dragony's for. They're the audio equivalent of that.
I'd say they're more the audio equivalent of like a Now and Later.
Yeah.
Or like a Starburst or something like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Starburst is good, yeah.
Okay, we're not going to go back and like... figure out which candy each band is now, are
no,
we?
No.
Okay. Damn. But thanks for tuning in to episode 214. I think what's going to be coming up after this, we're going to start preparing for our rewinds, which is our best of. You know, we're probably going to have a couple of special guest hosts come on for a couple episodes. We usually drag it out for two or three episodes.
I think it's two.
Yeah, yeah, sometimes three if we really want to.
Yeah.
I have a couple of our special co-hosts in mind to bring back on and get their opinions.
Yeah.
Some, like, maybe Maurice.
Because
his top list is always way different than ours.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very different. And we need to get – we didn't get Dave last time because I think schedule conflicts.
Schedule-wise, yeah, we need to get him back on.
So, yeah, we need to get Dave this time.
That's right. So, yeah, lots to look forward to there.
Yep.
Of course, you can find us on the interwebs at MSRcast.com or MetalGeeks.net. We're on iTunes. Like us there. Subscribe to us there. Give us a review. All that good stuff. We're on Spotify now if you want to listen to us while you're taking a break from some of your favorite albums. Say, hey, I want to hear what MSRcast is all about this week. Check it out. We are also on Stitcher and Google Play and all the podcast places you could go to possibly want. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at MSRcast. And, of course, you can find my illustrious co-host here at...
At the Metal Pigeon, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
There you go. And themetalpigeon.com.
Yep.
And you just put out your top 10 today. Songs of the year.
Yes.
And I looked through your article and I heard some of the songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I agree with it all, but that's okay.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that more later.
I think that this year in particular, this is my prediction for the best of episodes. We're going to have such very different lists this time. It's going to be an interesting couple shows there.
Yeah. I think we are definitely going to have, we're going to run the gamut here.
Yeah.
Of different, of bands.
Because usually we overlap on a lot of things, so.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll that's see. Very true. But you have to tune in to find out.
Yeah.
We're just giving all these kind of things out. So the last band we're going to play is a band called...
Altars of Grief.
Altars of Grief. That's right.
A lot of altars going on in metal. A lot of grief.
This came out. This came out early in 2018. This came out back in March.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite death doom albums of the year so far, for sure. They're not as slow and dirgy as like Mournful Congregation, which is high up on my list too. Just going to Encyclopedia Metallum, their lyrical themes are depression, failure, death, and emptiness.
Yeah.
I felt a lot of that this year. You know, everybody does. And the song we're going to pick out, it's from the 2018 release, very limited release version. You can find it on Spotify and stuff like that. It's called Iris. This is opposite of Dragony.
This is the antidote to all that god awful Christmas music you've been hearing and when you go in the grocery store.
That's fucking true.
Just scrub that stuff out of your mind. Yeah.
So take that Christmas music and throw it on that altar of grief.
Yes.
So this is Altars of Grief, and thank you guys. We will see you on the next episode. Last thing, keep it metal.
Keep it metal.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.